This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. This week, the Toledo Blade is running stories that detail what the paper calls the longest series of atrocities in the Vietnam War. The stories focus on the Army's Tiger Force, an elite unit of 45 paratroopers created to find enemy positions. According to the reports, soldiers in Tiger Force killed scores of unarmed Vietnamese civilians over a 7-month period in 1967. The atrocities have never before been revealed in detail. The paper's reporters obtained classified Army documents. They interviewed dozens of soldiers from Tiger Force, as well as Vietnamese witnesses to the atrocities. The Toledo Blade's Michael Sala says the killings took place in the central highlands of South Vietnam.
They were in an area that was considered highly contested. It was an area of the central highlands where both the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong were, and Tiger Force engaged in the operation of trying to relocate a lot of the civilians to relocation centers.
And that seems to be where some of this operation went awry. You interviewed one lieutenant who told you that if the people had not left the land to go to the refugee centers, that was a bad sign. He said if it was living, it was subject to be eliminated.
That is correct. Lieutenant James Hawkins was the commander then, and his goal and purpose was to clear the land at all costs. That meant if unarmed civilians, men, women, and children were there and not in a relocation camp, that they were subject to being killed in any way possible.
You describe one killing in Quang Nai province of a group of elderly farmers who were out working in a rice paddy when Tiger Force came upon them. Describe what happened there.
That occurred in July of 1967 when the patrol came upon a small hamlet in the Song Vae Valley. These farmers clearly thought they were safe. They were 10 elderly rice farmers, 5 were male, 5 were female. They were out in the paddy just toiling away. They didn't want to go to the relocation camps. They were not very pleasant places to go. The soldiers came upon the farmers, and at the order of the platoon lieutenant, they opened fire on them. 4 died in the attack. Several others were injured. The others laid in the muck so that they acted like they died. Some of the soldiers told us how they just couldn't pull the trigger. And one of them, the name Bill Carpenter, I remember his story of how he just said, "I couldn't do it. It was impossible for me to fire my gun. I knew what was wrong, and to this day, I'm glad that I did not take part in that."
You also describe, apart from sort of the mass killings, there were a number of individual killings, mutilation of bodies, a lot of atrocities directed at women and children.
The atrocities were well documented. Many members of the platoon would follow kind of a ritual of cutting off the ears of the dead villagers and the dead civilians and the dead prisoners. And what they would do is they would string these ears on necklaces, usually made of shoestrings. And for a while, many members of the platoon were wearing these, according to the records. They also would get into some would actually engage in scalping one in particular and would place the scalp on the end of his rifle. The same person would routinely kick out the teeth of villagers and dead soldiers for the gold fillings. And so this went on, and it was fairly well documented. There was at least 27 witnesses who testified to that during the Army's investigation.
Did this seem to be the actions of individual soldiers, or was this part of some sort of broader campaign organized from the top commanders of that force?
I think you can always surmise. I believe that this started at the top. I believe that the commanders knew what the soldiers were doing. This was an elite unit that was sent out there. They wanted them to essentially terrorize the villagers to get them out of the way. A culture developed within the unit of kill and became a kill unit, and they essentially would go off and declare areas war zones, and if there were villagers in there, it didn't really matter who they were subject to be killed.
You did interview a former sergeant from the task force, William Doyle, who explained it this way. He said, "We didn't expect to live, so you did anything you felt like doing, especially to stay alive. The way to live is to kill, because you don't have to worry about anybody who's dead."
In fact, he offered no apologies. He was very matter-of-fact with it, and I think if he would tell you again, he would do it all over again if given the opportunity.
These atrocities and killings of civilians did become the subject of an investigation about 4 years later, starting in 1971, an investigation led by the Army that would go on for 4.5 years. What happened with that investigation?
Well, it is, to our the best of our research, it was the longest war crimes investigation of the Vietnam War. The Army essentially substantiated war crimes amounting to about 20 atrocities, multiple victims, against about 18 soldiers. And then it essentially buried the case. It decided not to prosecute. It was not based on a lack of evidence. There was certainly, if you read the testimony of these soldiers, it was very compelling. It was very direct. It was 1975 when the investigation completed. In the words of the lead investigator, Gustav Apsi, he essentially said the political will wasn't there anymore. The fall of Saigon had occurred. It was basically time just to let it go, let it die, and that's essentially what it did.
What reaction have you gotten, what response from the Pentagon to this series of reports?
Well, it's interesting that they're now calling these allegations. More than 30 years ago, they substantiated these war crimes. They developed probable cause and essentially said, yes, these did indeed occur. And it's interesting to hear them today saying these are only allegations. They're not allegations. The sworn affidavits they have been buried in their archives for three decades. They just need to open them up and look at them again.
Michael Sala, thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Michael Sala is part of the investigative team for the Toledo Blade series this week. Today, U.S. Army spokesman Joe Burles told NPR News there's high interest at the Pentagon in the articles the Blade is running, but he said it's too soon to tell whether the case will be reopened.